Hi, welcome to Civic's Change Agent Chat, episode 20. During these chats, we speak with change agents who are working to create a better healthcare system for us all. I'm Stephanie Spriggs with the Center for Improving Value in Healthcare, or as we like to call it, Civic. In this chat, Taman Osborne Roberts, Civic's former CMO, is speaking with Cameron McDonald from the Colorado chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. The Colorado chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association used co-APCD data to investigate what percentage of physical rehabilitation services such as physical therapy, occupational therapy, and chiropractic services make up the total health expenditures in Colorado. During this chat, we learn what portion of healthcare costs come from these services during the time period studied. We recorded this chat in January 2018. Thanks for listening and enjoy the chat.
Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining Civic's monthly Change Agent Chat. As many of you know, I'm Taman Osborne Roberts, Civic's Chief Medical Officer and your host for today. Now, before we get started, there are just a few housekeeping items that I need to mention. One, the phone lines are muted and we will be using the question and answer feature to field questions and allow you to make comments on the discussion. Two, questions posed will be answered during the question and answer session. And three, this webinar is being recorded and will be posted to the Civic site so that you will be able to access this information again at any time without cost. Now, before I move to introducing our guest for today, I'd like to discuss a bit about the reason we're all here, namely data and information. Data has become the center of our modern existence. The world's largest and most powerful companies, such as Google, Facebook, and others, are organized around collecting and sharing data. Most of us carry small, magical data portals called smartphones in our pockets, using them to access others' data and to share our own data with the rest of the world, sometimes every minute of every day. And if you're like me, you may even wear one on your wrist. Yet, for a range of reasons we don't have time to explore today, data use in healthcare up until recently has been positively Byzantine. And this is such a loss, for as we all know, the most important part of data is not the numbers, but the people and the good that leveraging such information can do for people. To quote the speaker, author, and social relationship researcher, Brené Brown, maybe stories are just data with a soul. And it is you, our partners, that bring that soul into the data supplied by Civic, working to change the personal stories of our patients and helping move Colorado and its people forward. Today, we will be speaking with Cameron McDonald from the Colorado chapter of the American Association of Physical Therapists, the Colorado APTA. Colorado APTA is a nonprofit professional organization with nearly 2,500 members. Their mission is to provide leadership in the identification and interpretation of trends and issues, communication and coordinated action, sharing of ideas and professional collegiality, and the development and improvement of physical therapist education, practice, and research. They use Colorado APCD data to investigate what percentage of physical rehabilitation services, such as physical therapy, occupational therapy, and chiropractic, make up total healthcare expenditures in Colorado. Dr. McDonald, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Dr. Osborne Roberts, thank you very much for the introduction. I think we'll deformalize it to Cameron, to Taman, as you introduced yourself, is wonderful. It's a pleasure to be here. And I've brought my backup soul supply, just in case we need some more data analytics. And obviously, I'm not a Colorado native. I'm Australian, but I've made it to the United States, been here for over quarter century, I believe. And data has become central to many things that we now do in the research world, in the education world, and as a professional organization. And so it's a pleasure to be here and discuss how Civic has been part of our ongoing journey to improve the health of Coloradans, and obviously from our perspective, through the utilization of physical therapist resources.
Well, fantastic, and thank you for that introduction. And that gives us a great springboard, really, to my first question, which is tell us a little bit more about Colorado APTA, how your organization is important to the healthcare of Coloradans, how your organization works towards the triple aim, lowering costs, improving care quality, and improving patient satisfaction. Tell us the story, if you will.
Well, The triple aim has been embraced in many ways by our national APTA for quite a while, but it's been central to some of the research that we've done ourselves, and then we've reached out to others to try and bring data into what we anecdotally thought we were providing as professionals. But when we really wanted to speak to decision makers, regulators, those who set the rules we run by, they were like, show us the data. And so we, in Colorado, we have the Colorado chapter, about 2,500 plus, as you mentioned, members, growing towards 3,000, and represents the interactions of professionals getting close to 9,000 individuals in some way are aligned to Colorado physical therapist practice. And we have historically, harnessing the power of large data has been very difficult for physical therapists with regards to our care delivery is very one-to-one, it's very personal. Our research designs have been somewhat around small N numbers. Having a study of 100 individuals was somewhat earth-shattering. But now with the ability to tap into NIH-type studies with what Colorado All-Payer Claims data have done is we can look at data across in the hundreds of thousands of units. And this allows us to really say, is the value that we perceive we're bringing to Coloradans supported? And we started to have questions about the, we had a perception that people receiving physical therapy services in Colorado were restricted by how much they had to pay into that care episode. But we had the anecdotal reports of single clinics, practitioners, small groups, but when we discovered Civic, it was like, okay, here's our partner to be able to have enough points of identification to leverage a true story versus a considered story. And so Civic gave us that foundational knowledge that across 60% of all the individuals in Colorado, if we did it now, it'd be 85%, because as this database grows, the value grows. And so we were able to find out that physical therapist services represent 3% of all healthcare costs in Colorado, but we provide perhaps 10% of services. So we had some of the we'd seen that in some of our own research looking at military models. We're extrapolating out of military data. The only other place we could find combined data across large demographics until what started happening in Colorado. And I think Colorado is still unique, Taman. I think the All-Payer Claims Data Colorado situation is somewhat unique. Is that still true?
You know, what I would say is that there are other states with all-payer claims databases. But, you know, one of the reasons that Colorado is unique inside of having an all-payer claims database, there are really two reasons. One is that we are a database that is managed by an independent entity. Civic manages the Colorado All-Payer Claims Database, and that independence is not wholly unique, but there's only one other organization, I believe it's in Wisconsin, if I recall, that has a similar setup. The other thing is that we are arguably the only organization where both that and the particular nature of the Colorado market both collide. And that particular nature of the Colorado market is, after reform from the ACA, an attempt to open the Colorado market up to a range of different payment styles and options. The idea that there should be as many different possible styles and formats of payment as possible. And the combination of those two things makes it a very rich source of data. So, but please, go on.
And so the journey that we have had with Civic, we had a multi-year approach to legislative, fix is always a tough word. We wanted to look and identify if copays, if patient percentages of payments towards healthcare was disadvantaging individuals seeking a lower cost, high value intervention, thinking triple aim.
Absolutely.
That was we had a belief over looking at a couple decades of less high volume research that when physical therapists are involved in the medical care team, and predominantly looking at the military models who have that reporting data, we saw that the utilization of higher interventions, higher cost type provision care, went significantly down. But we couldn't voice that or leverage that to our legislators without the data. We had sample sizes up to 100,000 on military type reports. We had some stuff out of Wisconsin, where you mentioned, or Washington State, that gave us an insight into a triple aim type approach, putting physical therapists at the front to try and control costs. So when we came to Civic is our managing group, free plug. When we came to Civic, it's confusing, we had the opportunity to ask a neutral, independent group, can you tell us really how expensive are we? And when people come to us, how much do they have to pay for the cost? And the data that came back was it was around about 40%. The Coloradans were paying 40% of the cost for a low-cost service versus maybe 19% across the board for all other types of healthcare in Colorado. So we were finding that physical therapists cost twice as much in terms of the percentage the patient pays, but to the system cost less than half as much as the alternative type of healthcare provision to manage similar conditions. Sort of like when we had that data, it was became a lot easier for us to present to legislators that, yes, we're a good friend to Coloradans. We're typically a bit of a low risk. We don't have a high cost dollar. Now, we do have our, we're all going to have issues on occasion, yes. Which has led to significant legislative support for many of the issues that we've brought forth. This current legislative session will bring the sunset review process for Physical Therapist Practice Act. We may well touch back to the Civic's data from the All Player Claims Base in our negotiations and discussions with interest groups as we move through sunset. Because the data speaks truths. We like those truths, but at times, obviously, there's some aspects we had presumptions and we had to tone down our presumptions, also thinking what patients had to pay to. So the value of neutral, de-identified data in large volumes is it's a little bit hard for it to be an error when you've got an N of over a million data points. When you've got an N of 10, well, you can make some. Those confidence intervals can pretty much go from zero to infinity and back, even without Buzz Lightyear.
So, yeah, to summarize, it sounds like there's a few places you found value in Civic data. One is just the sheer volume of N, if you will, you know, and the ability to do that. Another place is in being able to, if you will, demonstrate long-standing assumptions in a data-driven, on-the-ground, fact-based manner, specifically to legislators, specifically to move policy. And it also allowed you to take a look at some longstanding assumptions and maybe refine your arguments, maybe go, well, this isn't coming out in the numbers, so maybe this is not a place where we should be spending our limited political and legislative capital. Let's concentrate on things that make more sense and that are derived from the numbers and the data.
I think that summarized it well. It cleaned up the data I gave very well, to use a poor research analogy. I do that.
So it sounds like you've really been discussing this with the legislators for some time. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the successes you've had? Do you have any specific stories or specific instances or moments that come through where a legislator might have had an aha moment or maybe in determining how to structure a conversation, you had an aha moment while discussing with your team and your legislative strategy team?
Well, the utilization of these, the outcomes of the data review, the discussions we had, Representative Primavera, House Bill 1108 in 2014 was germinated and run successfully through both houses of the Colorado legislature based upon these discussions. There was ultimately a governor-based veto, business interests as per se, but the goodwill of those journeys was significant.
We have a little bit more about that bill for those who may not be familiar.
That bill looked at the incidents that five other states had enacted copay and patient percentage payment amounts on rehabilitative services with a limitation at 20%. And this was enacted and was strongly supported through both houses and passed in 2000 during this 3-year period that we strongly looked at this. We've morphed with the Affordable Care Act of other changes in how reimbursement's done towards bundling of payments and things. We're shifting how we look with regards to the patient payment amounts into rehab services. But that data also influenced conversations with Wisconsin, conversations with Kentucky, conversations with California, with conversations with Iowa. Because as we are the Colorado chapter of it, we serve as part of the 50 states and the District of Columbia in the National House And the co-pay discussions for 3 years continually came forward about how do we address this in other states? How do we talk to insurance providers in other states? So the civic data has lived beyond the boundaries of Colorado. It has helped inform discussions elsewhere. And that has continued. Now, as we look to see what the new healthcare delivery and reimbursement models look like going forward, our interests will shift. We'll be looking at the influence of the physical therapist, frontline, common musculoskeletal conditions. The decrease in medication, like that word, opioids, how much of a reduction in opioids use has occurred when, as a triple aim approach is used with physical therapists for like low back pain, you can put physical therapists on the front end, you see a huge reduction in opioids. They don't go away totally because they're still a use under skilled healthcare provision. But that's the military shows it. And like that might be where we come back to civic again. Like now, can we start looking at this from diagnostic categories? Can we start looking at how does the exposure to a physical therapist early in the episode of care affect utilization of resources over time? We've had some semi-large studies that have seen this, works of Fritz, works of Flynn, works of Childs that are published with N's maybe to 100,000. But if we could start bringing that into the Colorado debate as we now, because we have this bills coming forward in the next legislature about how to address the opioid epidemic, we might be championing, say, let's go to the all-payer claims database again and start asking different questions. And so knowing this resource is available is tremendously helpful when we have discussions with clinician researchers and academic researchers. I had the discussion this morning with a researcher who had looked in their PhD studies at the difference in outcomes due to payer groups. And that was the PhD dissertation this researcher did. And I introduced that researcher this morning to Civic's database. And they're like, now that individual is probably likely to reach out to Civic and say, what a beautiful way to integrate a national-based PhD study to a Colorado-based study, a comparative analysis, looking at payer types with regards to health outcomes across diagnoses. So if we could get the time turner and stop time, imagine what we could do.
That is absolutely, absolutely incredible. And again, to summarize, it sounds, like one of the most important parts of this is, in addition to the prospective work you do in terms of trying to set up a study or trying to come up with a policy intervention, you can then turn around after it's been implemented and after things are changing and look at the downstream effects and say, did this work or not? And did we see the effect we expected to see? And that's another piece of power in this for various things within healthcare and physical therapy in particular.
Yeah, well, like an examples of that would be like, we could look at what's been done elsewhere without the leverage that Civic has. In Washington State, they looked at through the Virginia Mason healthcare system, they were limited at the effects of physical therapists with regards to MRI rates, surgical rates, medication rates, overall cost of episode for acute low back pain. But they were limited to a single healthcare unit. But there was a demonstrated significant reduction across most of those areas. So we could potentially bring that question back and run it again through a much larger database and use that as like, if we just identify where with rehabilitative services at the point of entry into rehabilitative services in an episode of care, okay, and compare that to some of these other published outcomes. That actually ran as a one page. They actually ran that as a full page in the Wall Street Journal. It was such an interesting outcome from it. But it wasn't sustained because there wasn't the ongoing data. That model was not sustained. And so the considerations are, can you have a sustained effect by being able to then go, okay, we enacted this change. We would love to see if 5 years down the road, if the initial small study is held up by a large database approach. Like Colorado is one of the states where for quite a long time you could go directly to a physical therapist. In many states, there was a gatekeeper. And in some states, there are still partial gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. And so we So for certain diagnostic categories, there is preliminary evidence that those states that have the gatekeeper still in place are far more expensive to achieve a similar outcome. And so when we get to maybe 10 years of data, we could utilize this data pool to look at the cost. And again, it goes back to the most common musculoskeletal complaint, low back pain. If we look at the data of the cost of an episode of care in Colorado, where people can choose from multiple entry-level providers versus states that have had 30-day limitations or up until very recently had complete limitations from getting to primary conservative care providers, that they had to go through a primary care, pharmacological management approach.
Okay.
And we know those numbers from the military side again, because since the 1970s, it's been rehab service providers on the front end. But only in many, many, many states in the US, that has not been the case. New York, Michigan, a couple other states have only in the last 3 or 4 years have allowed that direct responsibility to be on the physical therapist. Many states still have a certain limitation on time. Texas, Pennsylvania, other states. And so we have at our national organizations have had our leading researchers stand up and say, we must have big data. That was the national conference a few years ago. The basic theme was we need big data. We need big data to answer these questions more accurately, to really talk to the consumer and stop talking to ourselves quite so much, to stop talk to the public. As a practitioner, I talk to people in the public about some of the outcome data points you might see in civics public data reports and what we received. It's like knowing what our expense ratio is. When I educate students at the university, and I'm an assistant professor at Regis University, I'm like, you are 3% of the cost pie. We know that. You're between 2.5% and 3% of the cost pie. So that empowers them to be like, okay, I'm not really that expensive per se, but I can bring a lot of quality. And so if others who aren't aware of that were like, maybe we should cut down on rehab services, like, well, maybe you shouldn't. We provide a big part of the outcome and we're a small part of the cost. So, but it gives a voice. It's giving a voice to our members that they may have not had when they get told by others who are managing to them, you're expensive. Actually, I'm not. And we know what our revenue marks are. And so not to create an ambivalence of power and authority. That's not the interest. It's more like our message to our students is that you are licensed because you're responsible to provide something. It's not a privilege. It's a responsibility. And we typically, and through our partnerships with other healthcare providers, we're somewhat benefit of being a little bit lower cost, lower risk because of the scope we function in, but we can have big impact. And so it's not to build up one profession. We want to this big data has helped us see where we are in the big picture, to have honest conversations and maybe to help answer some of the questions. When we hear of the crisis in access to care, when we hear of the opioid crisis, we're like, we have an answer. From this data provision approach, one of our key members went to serve on the healthcare control panel for Colorado. There was a physician appointee and one non-physician appointee. And the one non-physician appointee is a physical therapist, Dr. Ira Gong. And he was central in our process to utilizing civic data. It was like, so we asked of him to then carry further forward that society facing approach to problems instead of just talk about my profession, not so much. And that's also where when we look at the data, we tried to look across even the rehabilitative professions, not just PT. We wanted to look at OT and look at chiropractic because there are other conservative care approaches that could utilize these data, this stance that we helped people take. So it's not just about us. Because without patients, I don't think our profession really is very useful.
Funny that.
There's other things we do to optimize movement for all folks, yes, but and the majority of time we're dealing with a patient population.
All right. And so, you know, it sounds like it's been helpful, not simply at, if you will, high level legislative conversations, but at a very grassroots level, at empowering individual therapists to be able to advocate for proper patient care and for being able to practice appropriately and to be able to deliver the good that they're able to deliver to patients in a more widely, more properly used fashion. And that's
because intrinsically for physical therapists, well, sometimes we've been sort of described as the physical therapists have the peace gene or something, very friendly like folks who chat. And like, you have some clinicians who at the individual clinician level might be like, I'm not getting a massive response in this episode of care. Like, well, if you're looking just in, but what are you preventing? Mm-hmm. By having this person holding to an active approach, by having this individual holding to an exercise approach, by having them still in the conversation with their primary care physician, by giving hope, by like giving other strategies and education to like manage pain versus just simply treat, those types of impacts are not that expensive, but they can have profound effects in healthcare costs and quality of life, which the data is showing more and more. But for the individual PT, it's sometimes, well, the goal then becomes to be who you are and not to feel like you need to morph into the super practitioner who can completely take away all symptoms present when that is not the, that's not the, that, and that's not, when that's not really a reality that might occur. The satisfaction rates for our patient populations are very high, mm-hmm. but for our clinicians, I think worry a bit. And we can bring down the worry for the individual clinician saying, we do impact society. We do have a positive impact. We do serve the triple aim. We do offer an approach, and we can show it in data analytics. We can show it in quality metrics. And that's, so we can go top tier, we can go individual level. We can be at, we can be in Washington, D.C. talking about the cap on PTOTS speech therapy services. Which ideally will be gone by the end of this month. We'll see after 12 years of discussion over a comma. And so, or we can do it at that first year DPT student who wants to know that they're putting their resources and time into a future profession that's going to be help, that's going to be important, and it's going to be useful. And so like compare that to the old message you get in, you might get in physician education, PT education, that will teach you the best research, but 5 years from now, 50% of it won't matter.
Right.
Versus will teach you how to be a professional. And the data tells you that once you as a professional enter this society, you are going to matter. You will change every 5 years because of new research. But what you'll become is extremely valuable. We know that. We won't measure it against one RCT. We'll measure it against the outcomes for 5 million Coloradans.
Got it. That's a great way of putting it. I did just want to remind any of our listeners, if you have any questions, please go ahead and pop them on here into the Q&A. We have a few minutes left. I haven't seen any questions yet. Hopefully that's a sign that there's been so much to talk about. You're just wrapped with attention. Cameron, did you have anything else that you wanted to tell us about?
Well, it's one of the things, I suppose it would be more like, if I had a question, like Civica, now you're at 80, 85% of all payer claims data. Is that going to be 100%? Are you going to be able to capture all payer claims data in Colorado? Because 85 is really impressive, I'll tell you that.
So, you know, right now, generally the number we're using is about 70% of all covered lives in the state. And, you know, we're hoping to continue to go higher. We get Medicare, Medicaid, all of the major commercial payers, and Medicare Advantage. The primary gap that we happen to have right now is in the ERISA plans. And with the ERISA plans, that's secondary to a Supreme Court decision that indicated we couldn't compel them to submit to the All Payer Claims database. Now, we are working to, work with the various different plans and get them, hopefully convince them, if you will, to understand that it's part of being a good corporate citizen to submit to us. And in addition to that, there's a competitive advantage, especially as everyone else's data becomes present and as employers are looking to determine whether or not a self-funded plan versus a commercial plan does or doesn't make more sense. And without having all of the data, it's very hard to make those sorts of comparisons. But I have confidence that over time, we'll make inroads in that and hopefully move closer to 100% of all of the payers in the state. And that's definitely
In closing, one of the things that I'd like to mention, the step away from provider, for our patients, being able to show them the charts that Civic puts up, the costs for certain elective procedures across the state in different settings, we've had patients look at that data, be like, okay, and you look at your outcomes reporting. Like, so the public-facing aspect of this is really quite unique in that you're thinking of having an elective total joint procedure. Well, you can look across these different regions by state as to costs and participations. And so, and hearing what you said with regards to if those in the marketplace who don't choose to share their data might start to see an attrition away from them based upon the unknown versus the known. And so transparency is generally, I feel, pretty helpful, fairly useful.
We feel the same way.
And can be strangely beneficial, even if initially can make one a tad anxious.
And we are absolutely in agreement with that. And looking at the time, it looks like that's where we'll have to stop. This has been a truly fantastic discussion. Cameron, thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your insights. And thank you to everyone else who joined us today as well. Just to remind you, the recording of the discussion will be shared via social media and the Civic site and should be available Monday. We also want to let you know that we're changing our schedule in February to the second Tuesday of each month, still at 12 p.m., so you can eat lunch while you listen. And our next chat is thus scheduled for Tuesday, February 13th, when we'll be chatting with Richard Thompson, Executive Director and CEO of Quality Health Network, Colorado's Health Information Exchange on the Western Slope. Thank you all for attending today. Have a great weekend, and take care out there, both yourself and with your patients.